141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. First and third go head-to-head in the Premiership tonight as Celtic head to Motherwell. Rangers hope to get back to winning ways when they host Hibs at Ibrox. And St Mirren, Hamilton, Aberdeen, St Johnstone, Ross County, Livingston makes up a full fixture card in the top flight. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, as you said, Gordon, a brilliant midweek card on this evening. Rangers at home to Hibs, Celtic at Motherwell. Two brilliant games. Top of the title race, it's still going well, but Rangers, as Stephen Gerrard said at the weekend, now they can't afford any slip ups, and Hibs will make it tough for them tonight, but as will Motherwell at the first part for Celtic. So two cracking games in prospect.
Yeah, I mean it's a full calendar tonight, and it's great games, you know, top and bottom of the league. Gordon, you know, there's a lot at stake tonight, and we get to, you know, these midweek games after the winter break. And, you know, can make a significant difference if you can manage to get, what Celtic have done just now, you know, full points from recent games, and Rangers have slipped up. So they need to get back on track against a Hibs side who, you know, are, you know, steadily improving and have improved under Jack Ross.
It's been a particularly mad week, Mark Guidi. We do madness more than most other places at times, particularly this week. Hopefully we can just get back to the football tonight. Six good games and focusing on all the good things about our game.
Yeah, you do want to speak about the football, Gordon. We would rather speak about the football. Sometimes, you know, we can't avoid not speaking about the football, and other issues come into it and, you know, make the headlines and the top of the agenda, because that's the way that it's got to be. But we have, you know, got a really good title race on. We want to keep talking about that, but unfortunately, other things top the list. But it's up to the callers what road they want to go down. But like we say, tonight there's two cracking games in prospect for the Old Firm, and could one of them possibly drop points? St Mirren Hamilton as well is another cracking game. You know, Kilmarnock as well. There's lots of good ones, but could Celtic or Rangers, could either of them or both of them drop points tonight? You never know. You absolutely never know.
It is all about the football tonight. 01419511025 on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from you. How do you see the games going, Rangers fans? How important is it you get back to winning ways? What about team thoughts, suggestions? James Tavernier is fit. I assume you would throw him straight back in, unless you've got something else on your mind. Would you put a curveball in there, a full debut for Yanis Hadji perhaps? Anything that we've not thought of? And you Celtic fans, what about your team tonight? Back to the four at the back, three at the back? What are you preferring? What have you been enjoying? How do you see tonight's going? 01419511025. Let's go round a couple of the grounds. Let's start at Fir Park, a real cracker in prospect. Third against first, Motherwell against Celtic. Alison Conroy is there already.
Yes, Stephen Robinson looking for a vast improvement from his Motherwell side from that defeat at Livingston at the weekend, where he says 10 of his players didn't show up. He says they won't be changing their style tonight as they look to upset the odds against Celtic. Stephen Robinson well aware of what is coming to Fir Park. It was a 5-2 win for Celtic back here in August. The sides also met in September at Celtic Park. A 2-0 win for Celtic on that day as well. Mohamed Ilianoussi and Jozo Simonovic back in the Celtic squad. Johnny Hayes is the latest injury. He comes out. And Motherwell could give a debut to their on-loan Newcastle winger Orlando Ahrens, who of course signed on deadline day, Gordon.
Yep, plenty to look forward to in that one, Celtic fans. If you're going along or you're settling down to watch it on television, why not get in touch and let us know how you see it going? 01419511025. Who would you like to see play? Who would you like to see left out, perhaps? You've been watching the games recently. Who has been catching the eye? What about Ibrox? Rangers against Hibs. Andrew McLean is there.
Yeah, well, the Ibrox pitch is actually looking a bit patchy out there tonight. The same can, of course, be said for their form as well since the winter break. They've dropped points in two of their last three matches, fallen 7 points behind Celtic. Stephen Gerrard saying that they've been missing a spark in recent weeks. They need to find that spark, and you feel they need to find it tonight, because I don't think they can afford another setback at this moment in time. They have had two comfortable victories over Hibs so far this season, but Jack Ross's side, they're unbeaten in their last five matches since the break. They're averaging two goals a game in that time, Christian Doidge bagging six goals in that run as well. well. As for team news, Florian Camberi and Greg Doherty, they're both unavailable to play tonight, of course, against their parent clubs after making that January loan swap. James Tavernier, as you said earlier, Gordon, could be back in for his first start since his appendix surgery. Greg Stewart should be available again too. Still no Jack Hellander or Defoe for the home side. Adam Jackson is back from an illness for Hibs, but they're still without Porteous, Mallon and Naismith. I'll give you the full team news in a bit.
I think it goes without saying, Jim Duffy, there was never really going to be much room for slip-ups in this league, this season in particular. But given the way Rangers have stuttered since their return from Dubai, it's vital for them tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's listen, you know, this is not an easy league. And I think sometimes, you know, it's difficult. Listen, players get interviewed and they'll say things. I think it was Conor Goldson that said, you know, we have to be perfect. And then Steven Gerrard saying we can't afford any more slippers. And then the next game you do slip up. So, you know, people will always kind of focus on things that players and managers will say. But ultimately, it's up to the players to produce the goods on the pitch. And, you know, Rangers have by their own standards, slipped significantly since that win against Celtic just before the break. And, you know, can't quite understand where that type of form came from. I mean, the Rangers fans have phoned in here, said that, you know, they felt that the performance, even when they'd won the games, the likes against St Mirren and against Stranraer and that, were under par. And they had a sense that it wasn't quite right. But, you know, they'll have to have Morelos firing on all cylinders. That'll be terrific to get Tavernier back. If he is back from the start tonight, we'll find out that shortly. And it just shows you how important he is in that team, because, you know, he's just such a threat in that right hand side and puts some great deliveries in, gets in behind defenders and also at set plays as well. So yeah, they need to get back to that form they showed just before the break.
And because of where we're at, Mark Guidi, everything's been cranked up a little bit, just in case you hadn't noticed. But every decision the manager makes, every substitution, every defensive lapse, every missed chance in front of goal, absolutely everything seems to be getting scrutinised more and more. And it's another huge night for us.
And Gordon, it's only going to be magnified even more between now and the end of the season as we really get towards, you know, once we're out of this month, you're really down to the last sort of dozen games of the season. The split will be in the horizon. Rangers v Celtic Ibrox is March the 15th, into the latter stages of the Scottish Cup too. So it's only going to get worse, and every decision, every sitter that's missed, every time a goalkeeper doesn't make a save, every time there's an offside not given, or it should have been given, or the referee makes a mistake, they're all going to come under, because the stakes are so high. And, you know, at times, more often than not, it's not going to be pleasant. And the kind of thing that we've seen off the park the past few days, that's what we're going to see, unfortunately, more and more between now and the middle of May.
Six big games coming up tonight. Rangers against Hibs, Motherwell against Celtic, St Mirren Hamilton, Aberdeen St Johnstone, Ross County Livingston. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. Tell us what's on your mind. How do you see tonight's games going? How would you sum up how you're feeling? Are you confident? Are you nervous? Are you somewhere in between? And who should get the nod from the start tonight? 0141 951 1025. John is a Celtic fan on the line. He's first up tonight. Are you confident, John?
Evening, Gordon, Martin, Jim.
Hi, John.
Tonight, Mark and Jim, do you think Neil will mix it up tonight and go back to just the one up front tonight? I feel he might do that tonight. I just don't want do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, the link-up play between Lee Griffiths and Ozan Edward has been terrific, and I think Neil Lennon has stated that as well, you know, and it's great. I mean, we sit here because you rarely over the last few years see combination strikers, and it's quite refreshing to see two strikers on the pitch. So I'm not so sure, John. I think that particularly away from home, he likes a three at the back. I can't see him changing it tonight. And I kind of wonder why he would, because the two of them are playing terrific. They seem to be, you know, playing off each other. They're both scoring goals. And, you know, again, Motherwell had probably their poorest performance of the season, according to Stevie Robinson in the last game. And I think that Celtic going there full of confidence, I think Celtic will win the match tonight, and I would still expect them to play the two strikers again. We'll find that out shortly.
John, what makes you think that they won't? What makes you think they'll go back to one?
I just don't know. I know Murrow obviously is a team gone. They're a good wee team, obviously. It's a bad result of the weekend there. But the Murrow are quite stuffy in the midfield. I just don't know if maybe they'll try and match it up. But as I say, I hope they do play. As I said, I've been on here I hope we play the two of them, because I want Griffiths to keep getting games, you know what I mean? Because I think he's starting to find a wee bit of form again, you know what I mean?
Mark, sometimes the automatic call for two strikers, and people assume that more strikers means more goals, and it doesn't really work out that way. However, I think Jim is... speaks on behalf of a lot of people who've watched the two of them recently. They do seem to be linking up pretty well.
Edward and Griffiths, yeah, brilliant. I mean, you think last Wednesday night at this time, we were on the show and we're ready to watch St Johnstone Celtic on the telly, and right away in the first 5 minutes, you know, Celtic were just absolutely electric, and you know, they blew St Johnstone away, one of the best 45 minutes of the season. On Sunday, you fast forward to Hamilton Accies, same front two again, and rightly so. But it's kind of flat, but they get there in the end. You know, Edward really took centre stage. Celtic up against 10 men, managed to go over the line, but it wasn't as free-flowing as it was on Wednesday. But I'd agree with Jim. I love to see partnerships. I think they're a right good partnership together. And, you know, I think Neil Lennon's got to go with them, because you've got the two front of guys up front like that with that ability. Right away, you're putting, or you should be putting Motherwell on the back foot. You're making Motherwell think, Stevie Robbins thinking, oh, you know Jim better than me as a man. You think, God, do I go to your back three? Do I go to back four? Can my two centre halves handle these two? You know, it throws up all sorts of different questions, which is good.
Alison Conroy, are you still with us? She's popped downstairs. Yeah. That's understandable. On a night like this, you'd be going to get your cup of tea. I was just going to get an injury update from the venue itself, but I think, you know, we can do that. I think Johnny Hayes was injured. A lot of interest maybe, Jim, around young Stephen Welsh, because he came in, he'd been on loan at Morton, it was a Celtic debut at the weekend. I wonder if he'll have to play again, you know, if it's going to be that back three. Jozo Simunovic may be able to come back into the fold. I guess he didn't do anything wrong. In fact, the opposite, he got rave reviews at Hamilton,
Again, when he went into Morton, the first he played right back, and then when David Hopkins, the Morton manager, changed to a back three, he went in and played the right side centre back. And I was speaking to David, as I've done several times, and he was very impressed with him and really, you know, waxing lyrical. And I think this is important. This is the benefit of going out on loan, but it's actually worked even better for him, because they played a back three, and you learned that side of it as well. So defensively and getting on the ball, getting into Celtic's team, then you know, he's already got that knowledge rather than just going as a fullback. So yeah, I think it's been a great experience for him, and it's worked out perfect for him. And again, if he's fit and if Neil Lennon's going to go with a back three tonight, I expect him to continue in the side.
I think Alison is with us. Alison, yes, we have you. Loud and clear.
Yes, I am here.
Good stuff. I was just looking for an injury update. I know you'll be across all these things. Who was fit, who was not fit for Celtic?
Johnny Hayes is the latest player who is out for this one. Mohamed Elianoussi and Jozo Simunovic, they're both back in the squad. Remember, you've got the long-term injuries that won't make it tonight. So Jeremy Frimpong, Hatem Abdel Hamid, Nir Beaton, they're all still on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think Frimpong due to start training on Monday. Well, that in itself, Mark, if you're Jozo Simunovic, yeah, obviously you've got all those appearances under your belt. You would seem like an automatic starter ahead of Stephen Welsh. But it'd be interesting to see what Neil Lennon does if he just says, well, do you know what, you did well at the weekend, on you go.
Yeah, he might well do. As you say, you know, it's good for Neil Lennon to have those kind of options. Do you stick with the kid, or do you go with the experienced centre-back? Elianoussi being fit again. You know, I really liked the look of Elianoussi. He faded once or twice after injury, and the performance in the cup final wasn't good enough. But I think he's an exciting talent for Celtic, and to have somebody like that coming back in who should be feeling pretty fresh, he'll just need a wee bit of match sharpness. But he, for me, in a game like tonight where they start things off the bench, he's a kind of potential match winner in a real tricky game.
01419511025. Bruce is a Rangers fan from East Kilbride. What are you looking for from your team tonight, Bruce? Oh, he's just disappeared, just like that. What should Bruce be looking for from his team tonight, Jim Duffy? Do your best Bruce impression.
I think a positive start. I think that's what Rangers have to do. I think they have to get after Hibs, get the tempo of the game high, the intensity there, because they need the fans, who are understandably a little bit nervous now, you know. And if the game's a bit flat to start with, if they allow Hibs to get a foothold in the game and start passing the ball a little bit, then those nerves will start to generate even more. So I think Rangers have to come out the blocks tonight, really get into the game quickly. As I said, keep that, you know, high intensity, and see if they can get themselves an opportunity to get in front, because you know, in recent games, that's been a little bit of an issue, you know, of just starting the games a bit flat. So I think Steven Gerrard has used the term spark. They need a spark, but I think they need, you know, really, as I say to you, a high tempo game. And I think everyone, as they realise, if they are going to challenge Celtic, you know, they really need to, you know, find a form very, very quickly, because there's very little room for error now.
Yeah, because Mark, it's very easy to ask fans to be patient and to stick with the team if things aren't going well for the first 45, 50, 60 minutes. But in reality, this is a high pressure situation, and the easiest way to put everyone's mind at ease is to come out, as Jim says, fly out the blocks and make a positive start.
Yeah, you know, particularly in a home game, you want to do it coming in the back of the 0-0 against Aberdeen at Ibrox, because even another disappointing thing for Rangers will be, I think, coming back after the winter break, everybody looked at the league fixtures and thought, the next four or five games, Rangers on paper have got a much easier run. So therefore, you would expect Rangers to maybe take a lead and Celtic maybe having to play a wee bit of catch up, even if it's only 2, 3, 4 points, but something like that. But it's actually at this moment in time, it's been flipped round, and Rangers dropping points at Tynecastle, but particularly with the greatest respect to Aberdeen, not beating Aberdeen at home on Saturday is a major disappointment to them. And it just, again, it just illustrates, I think, sometimes when you take winning a title for granted, it shouldn't be. And by the way, Rangers might still go on and win the title this season, but I think it shows that, you know, how difficult it is to win games. That people say, ah, okay, you won that anyway, but you've still got to go out and do the business. And that's what Celtic have managed to do, and that's why, you know, you'd expect them to win the league. But if you're going to take the league off of Celtic, you're going to have to really do some.
Jim, if we're looking at potential changes in the team, you would imagine the captain, James Tavernier, comes back in. It seems like they've missed him. No disrespect to Matt Polster, who came in and did pretty well, but I think it's a bit of a no-brainer, is it not, that James Tavernier comes back in?
No, absolutely. I mean, I said before, he's like a lot of players, sometimes divides opinion because people look at the defensive side of it, but you know, getting on the ball, making himself available, you know, delivery, setting up chances, you know, there's probably no better right back in the country, you know, at doing that type of style. You know, you can argue who's a better player all round, but in terms of just someone getting himself with, linking up the play, as I said, being creative. Yeah, Rangers, you know, with him in one side and Barisic in the other, I think Rangers have definitely missed that, because they play with those inverted wingers coming in off the flanks, whether it's Aribo or whatever, and Kent coming in, allowing the fullbacks to go, and they've been a wee bit imbalanced. And I mean, obviously, I haven't seen many Rangers games over the last 90 minutes. I've seen the highlights, but I don't know how many chances I've had from the right hand side, but I would only guess that it hasn't been as prominent as when James Tavernier plays. And again, Stephen Davis is another one. I think he's just seems to just not been quite the same. I don't know what's because Ryan Jack's been missing or whatever, but again, he's hasn't been as instrumental and as influential as he can be. So if Rangers want to make that sustained challenge, they need these top players on the pitch and playing at their best.
Every single team in the top flight in action tonight, so no excuse for you not giving us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Are you confident? Are you nervous? Are you somewhere in the middle? And who would you have start for your team tonight? 01419511025. We're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard and Neil Lennon next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're closing in quickly on that time when we get the team news, so get your thoughts in first. Tell us who should play, who shouldn't play. Gabby Amato is on Twitter. Got quite the wish list for tonight. He says Tavernier, Edmondson, and Hadji will play tonight. He says he's not. That's not what he wants. He's telling us. He says for Polster, Katic and Kamara, maybe even a slight formation change, 4-2-3-1, a possibility. We will find out very soon. The team news. Let's hear from Stephen Gerrard. Actually, his thoughts going into that game against Hibs.
I think as a manager, when you get a result or a couple of results over a short period of time that are not helpful, you know, you look to people like Stephen and Alan McGregor and your experienced players in the team to rally the troops and reset and go again. We're ready for Hibs. We're aware of their challenge. They're a good team. But they're a team that within the last, 4 or 5 weeks, we beat quite comfortable by doing really well, both in and out of possession. So the players know what it takes. And I wouldn't be surprised if we bounce back quicker than what people think.
Graham's a Rangers fan from Bells Hill. Are you going along to the game tonight, Graham?
Yeah, I'm on the road just now. Hopefully the traffic's not too bad.
Well, I'll get Stephen Mill on it for you. I think it's all right at the moment. What are you expecting when you get there?
Well, I just wanted to put my point across to the panel, if they agree that arguably this is actually our biggest game of the season tonight. And the reason that I'm thinking that is because I think that Celtic being out to Motherwell is a bit of a tricky tie for them. Motherwell have been playing amazingly, especially at home. So if we don't come out fired up, ready to go, and see an opportunity to possibly claw back where we are at the moment, then, you know, I think that would be a big opportunity missed. And, you know, putting the Old Firm games aside, because they take care of themselves, this potentially is our biggest game of the season so far. I just wonder if the panel agree.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it is Graham, in the situation that Rangers are in now. And then, you know, after tonight, there's obviously it's the Scottish Cup weekend, so there'll be a break from league football. So they don't want to, you know, be going to play the games a week on Saturday or a week on Sunday behind Celtic any further. But then the following weekend becomes the biggest game of the season after that. So every big game now, there's no margin for error. And what Rangers have to do, if they work on the fact that they might think that Celtic win every game between now and March the 15th, which is the next Old Firm game at Ibrox, Rangers cannot afford to drop any more points. They must win every game. And if they're going to that game, if they've got their game in hand over the line, and they're going to that game four behind or whatever it may be, then that's fine. They don't want to be getting seven behind or any more points behind, you know. So yeah, every game now is absolutely massive, Graham, and that's the way it's going to be, including the Scottish Cup. Let's not forget the Scottish Cup is a chance for Rangers to win silverware, one game away from the quarter final, two away from the final. And, you know, if the league's not going to happen for Rangers at the moment, they're certainly still in it. But if it's not, you know, the Scottish Cup's important for them because it's a piece of silverware, and it's a real sign of progress, albeit the league remains the priority.
Jim, this is where the psychology of it all becomes quite interesting. All the managers will tell us, you know, they focus on themselves, but actually, you can understand why that's just impossible for fans, because Graham's mentioning he's looking at the difficulty of Celtic's fixture. So if Celtic were to drop points, it goes without saying Rangers need to capitalise on that. You can flip in its head, it's even worse. No, it's not even worse, but you end up kicking yourself if you find out the other result has gone your way and you've still not managed to take advantage of it.
Yeah, if you've got an opportunity miss, that's even worse. But I think that, you know, from Rangers' point of view, and for the fans, for the club itself, you know, the players, the manager, they can still see at this moment in time that it's in their own hands, because if they won their game in hand, they'd be four, and there's two Old Firm games
that's
to
right,
go.
Exactly,
but
yeah,
if they drop points tonight and Celtic win, it's no longer in their own hands. Yeah. So psychologically, that's a huge blow. So listen, Rangers have to focus on themselves. They can't look at, you know, and Graham might as a supporter, but Steven Gerrard and his players cannot look and think, oh, well, that's a tricky game. There'll be a lot of tricky games between now and the end of the season, but Rangers have to get back to top form, and they have to start tonight. We heard Steven Gerrard just saying in the interview you played there a minute or so ago, Gordon, listen, we beat Hibs comfortably by doing the right things. But Hibs will obviously maybe have learned from that as well. I would expect a different type of Hibs tonight, maybe a little bit more structured, a little bit more defensive minded, maybe not quite as open as they were the last time. And obviously our indiscipline played a part in that as well the last time. So I think Jack Ross will be really saying to his players, keep 11 players on the pitch. But I expect Rangers to beat Hibs tonight. I've said it before, Hibs are not, you know, if you want to call it, a really aggressive midfield side, they're a footballing side, and I think teams that get right in against Rangers make it difficult. But I think Hibs are a bit more of an open footballing side, and I think that'll suit Rangers, and I think Rangers will win by a couple of goals.
Graham, so much talk about this spark that's missing. It was Steven Gerrard that said it, but I think a lot of the fans agree. Is that something that can be rectified by those players that are already there, or would you change something tonight?
I think that the problem that we've had recently is that it's been key players that's out. You know, any team couldn't afford to lose, say, for example, Morelos for a suspension. But on top of that, we've had Jack, who's been the most influential midfielder, and we've had Tavernier, who clearly creates so much from the width that we've not had. If you lose all three of them, losing one's bad enough, but losing all three, you know, and being on, you know, coming off the back of a winter break, that all combined into a big pot can have an effect, you know, and I can understand why that's the case. And I agree with what you said as well about the fact that, you know, the next Old Firm game coming up soon is at Ibrox. I think that even emphasises more how important tonight is. If we do tonight well, and then the next Old Firm game coming up soon, we could completely swing the picture back round. in a very short space of time, and the complete picture looks different.
It certainly does. Well, enjoy the game tonight, Graham. That was Graham somewhere between Bells Hill and Ibrox. It's 01419511025. The team news is starting to break. We have the starting 11s from Fir Park. Alison Conroy.
Yeah, for Celtic, Jozo Simonovic coming back into the starting 11, and Welsh is a player that drops out. So it will be Forster in goal, a back three of Ayer, Simonovic and Julian. Then Forrest and Taylor's the wing-backs, with the three of Brown, Cham and McGregor. Up top for Celtic tonight will be Lee Griffiths and Odson Edward. And your substitutes for Celtic will be Welsh... Sorry, Bain, Welsh, Bolingoli, Rogic, Christie, Ilianusi and Klamala. For Motherwell, a couple of changes. Gillespie will be in goal. Then it'll be Hartley, Gallagher, Grimshaw, Carroll, Donnelly, Campbell, Polworth, Hilton, Long. And there is a debut for Ahrens tonight as well. And your bench for Motherwell, Carson Tate, Seedorf, Mazinga, Mugabe, McIver and O'Hara.
There we go, that's the team news from Fir Park. We're going to get the team news from Ibrox in just a second. Let's quickly check in with Willie in Parkhead. Willie, just while you were on the line, we gave you that Celtic team. Simunovic comes back in. It's two up front, and the likes of Christie and Rogic having to wait on the bench. Are you happy with that?
Oh, quite happy with that. You go with a winning team and start half now, but the boys came on well, and the subs done the business for Celtic Saturday. Sunday, sorry. But my point is a couple of points. The boy was on it last night talking about how we're going to replace Scott Brown. And I think we've got the boy there that's going to replace him is Callum McGregor. That's one of my points. So I think McGregor's going to be the next captain. And I think he'll do a good job as Scott Brown's doing at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in looking ahead. And Willie's right. Someone raised the point last night, you know, what does Celtic do when the day comes? Because this is the week that he racked up his 700th club appearance, of course. What do you make of Willie's suggestion?
Aye, Callum McGregor, yes, the biggest opposite. Well, first of all, I think, yes, he is a natural successor to Scott Brown in terms of the position that Scott Brown plays. I think that McGregor can adapt his game in time. You know, if you're looking at, say, Scott Brown's, let's say, for talking sake, it's May of next season, you know, where he kind of, I'm not saying he's finished, but he maybe kind of winds down, is not playing as many games, etc, etc. I think McGregor can take over the role and the captain's armband for sure, but the biggest obstacle will be, is Callum McGregor of the same mindset as Scott Brown? As in, I'm happy to beat Celtic, this fulfills everything that I need in my career, everything that I need off the park, on the park, etc, etc. Or will Callum McGregor have a hankering to go? You know, if Celtic are still winning league titles or not, because there's interest in him and there will be further interest in him, and it all depends on, because other clubs will be able to afford to buy him from Celtic, that's for sure. So it really comes down to the boy whether he wants to go or not.
The question is valid, Jim, because Scott Brown will finish eventually at some point, so it is a valid. However, tonight he plays his 42nd game of the season, and it's the 5th of February. So there are no signs there that he is slowing down. People are making the assumption, and like I say, obviously he will, but 42 appearances for a player of his age by this stage in the season.
Yeah, but I don't think there's an issue with that. I think Scott Brown absolutely looks after himself. If you ask anybody at Celtic Park, they tell you he's one of the best trainers at the club. You know, why would he? I mean, I think we sometimes tag someone with an age and think, oh, he must be on your way out. Scott Brown comfortably, for me, can play the next two or three seasons comfortably.
What
at
is
the
he,
top 35? Level. You know,
35.
And I think that, you know, again, if you look at Italy, 34. And all these, Italy in particular, you know, they seem to, you know, thrive, you know, by older players, and they'll actually sign older players. I mean, obviously, Ronaldo just went for whatever it was, almost 100 million at 33, I think he was. So, and I'm not comparing Scott Brown with Ronaldo. That's what I'm saying. I'm just talking about age. I'm talking about age, okay? And what I'm saying is, if you look after yourself and you play with good players, that's another thing. You're not having to do all the running about everywhere and fetch and carry everything. You're surrounded by good players. So for me, Scott Brown, yeah, the next 2 years, I think you'll definitely be still at Celtic. But I do agree with Willie to a certain extent. I think Callum McGregor could be, you know, the guy that takes the armband if and when he decides to hand it over to someone else.
We do need to get team news from the other games, but I'll quickly make you like your second point, Willie, on you go.
My second point is, now I think players overreact now, try to get people booked. Taylor's got a wee high kick on the shoulder, and then he's holding his face. I'm a Celtic man, and I thought it was a wee bit trying to get the boy booked or sent off. He grabbed his face when the boy hit him in the shoulder, and I thought it was a wee bit over the top, and players seem to be doing this all the time. Rolling about and holding their faces and maybe get kicked in the ankle.
Certainly don't mind that. That was really calling out one of his own players. I do remember the incident.
To be honest, I didn't see that incident, Willie, but I agree with you 100% across the board. I find any act of, you know, try to cheat or con a referee or a fellow pro as disgusting, and I've always said that I think that's something that the PFA should take more of a stance in as a member of all the players to cut it out. Just actually cut it out, play fair, and make the referees' jobs easier as well.
Willie, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Ibrox. Some very interesting team news from Andrew McLean.
Yeah, some very interesting team news, and I think that Twitter earlier on that you highlighted, Gordon, must have
he
had some insider
in the
info,
know, wasn't he?
Because the players that go out are Polster, Katic and Kamara. The ones that come in are James Tavernier back on his return from injury, George Edmondson and Yanis Hadji for his first start for the club. So it'll be Alan McGregor in goal, a back four of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, George Edmondson and Borna Barisic. The midfield three, Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis and Joe Aribo, with Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent supporting Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes: Fodringham, Polster, Katic, Kamara, Barker, Jones and Stewart. As for Hibs, they make three changes as well. Out go Gray, McGregor and Horgan. In it come Paul McGinn, Stephen Whittaker and Adam Jackson. So it'll be Ophir Marciano who starts in goal. A back four of Paul McGinn, Adam Jackson, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. The holding two, Stefan Omeyonga and Stephen Whittaker, with Martin Boyle, Scott Allen and Joe Newell in behind Christian Doyes. The substitutes: Bogdan, James, McGregor, Horgan, Hallberg, Murray and McNulty.
Headlines from that range. Maybe it was the actual Gabby Amato who tweeted in. Maybe yeah. He still gets some pals at Ibrox who gave him the nod. But George Edmondson in from the start. We don't see that too often in the league. James Tavernier comes back. That was expected. But the big one, Jim, a full debut, a first start for Yanis Hadji.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, listen, don't get me wrong. Somebody knows, they might know if Rangers have been working on a certain system during the training and all these kind of things. Listen, you know, it's very difficult to keep things under wraps now. But, you know, the caller did get it right, so we have to say that. Yeah, I mean, for me, again, people are asking a little bit more creativity. Can Yanis Hadji give Rangers that? Obviously, I don't know enough about him, but, you know, his reputation is he's that type of player. A number of Rangers fans have been calling for Edmondson to get a start. Well, he's going to get that tonight. And obviously, James Tavernier coming back in, which is no surprise. He was 100% fit. So, you know, yeah, I mean, if you look at Arfield, Davis and Hadji, it's all footballers in there, isn't it? You know, there's not a, you know, a defensive minded type of player. So Rangers, with the two full backs getting forward as well, a very attack minded side. But as I also said to Gordon, you know, the two holding midfield players for Hibernian are Omeyonga and
Whittaker,
who are again not you would call combative type of midfielders. So again, but I think it'll be a very open game, and I think when it's an open game, it'll suit Rangers.
Looking forward to seeing what Yanis Hadji can do, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, heard good reports about him on Saturday. A couple of boys that were there and seemed to think he had, you know, a bit about him. He's going to add certainly something to the Rangers midfield. And I think that's the kind of guy that they're going to look towards in terms of that spark that Steven Gerrard's missing. It sounds like the boy's got a bit about him. He's full of confidence and he's got the capability to go and bring something different to the Rangers team. And tonight is a perfect platform for him to show if he can go and be the guy that creates a winner or scores a winner or something like that. It will just give him a great lift and really give Rangers a boost as well.
This really is the perfect time for you to call, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen. So what do you make of those starting 11s? What are you hoping for? What are you expecting from Yanis Hadji tonight? George Edmondson is in. Is that the type of change you would have made, or would you have done something different? And from a Celtic perspective, it's kind of as you were, but Jozo Simunovic replaces young Stephen Welsh in that defence. So what do you make of those teams? Let us know right now, and we're going to hear from the likes of Stephen Robinson and Jack Ross next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of reaction coming in to the various pieces of team news that we've given you around the country. The headlines from Celtic's trip to Motherwell, quite predictable. Jozo Simunovic replaces Stephen Welsh. Other than that, it's as you were. Rangers a bit more talking points, certainly. You've got Yanis Hadji in for a debut. RFC NC 1872. You know him, he's been on Twitter. He says Edmondson has the best distribution out of all our centre halves, so he should help us break them down. George Edmondson's in tonight. Hadji will be exciting to watch. Tavernier being back will offer more balance. What about on the phones? Scott is in Postle Park. What do you make of that team news, Scott? What stands out for you?
Hi panel, I'm glad I just heard the team news there, and I'm really happy with the three players coming in, with Tav and Edmondson, and especially the kid Hadji. Because I was really frustrated last week when Steven Gerrard put on Hadji, was it like 12 or 13 minutes to go? I was like, man, he should have given him a bit more time, because the crowd was a bit really frustrated, and maybe if you put him on maybe at half time or with 25 minutes to go or something, they'd have lifted the crowd, you know. And I like George Edmondson, I just heard you saying he's really good at distributing the ball, and he plays out a bit for the back. I know that can be a bit dangerous and that, but like I said, I think he's really good with the ball as well. So I'm really excited to see what young boy Hadji can do for us tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's everyone is, I think, Scott, you know, looking, and I think, you know, getting him in there, probably just, you know, maybe Steven Gerrard's looked at the game on Saturday, you know, and, you know, listen, if it's not going your way and you're not firing those cylinders, sometimes you think, well, do I put the boy in, or does that actually put a little bit pressure. More pressure on him and responsibility? So tonight he gets a start. I think it's better to get him in from the start. The game gives him time to assess the game, gives him time to get a feel of it. And obviously, as I said, he's got good players around about him, and there is a good balance about Rangers tonight, and there's a real goal threat, I think, as well, with Arfield, who I think can chip in, and obviously Kent Aribo on the other side of Morelos. You know, I said it'll be interesting to see how Edmondson fits in there. A number of Rangers fans have asked for him to be in. I think you've got to, if you in the modern day game at the top level, you've got to build from the back, and you've got to take a bit of a risk. You know, you can't just knock balls up to Morelos all the time against two big centre halves and say, okay, Alfredo, do the business for us. You've got to get the ball. You've got to get the ball moving through the lines. And if somebody like Edmondson and somebody like Golson, you know, again, Golson had a terrific pass to Morelos at the weekend there, where Morelos went through and the keeper saved it. He can use the ball well. So two good centre halves can both use the ball. Start the game.
Of course you can, Scott.
Yeah.
I know this is a bit of a bold statement, but I've seen a young Hadji. He reminds me so much of Eden Hazard. See where the balance and left and right foot. He reminds me so much of a young Eden Hazard. I know that YouTube and that shows your best clips, but what I've seen him, he can shoot his left, shoot for his right. He scored for a corner kick and everything, so I'm really, really excited to see him. And just one more thing, I think we rely far, far too much on Alfredo Morelos. I'm sick of the team not having shots. There's a million times I went shoot, and they always try and play every sneaky pass into Morelos. It's becoming really, really predictable, you know.
Yeah, I'll let Scott do the Eden Hazard thing. That'll keep me out of trouble, because as soon as I mention it, people will think that made the comparison. However, to be fair to Scott, the one thing, and this is not to say he's going to turn out brilliant or otherwise, but the one thing anyone who's watched him play will tell you, he's incredibly two-footed. As in, he's as comfortable in one as he is the other. So that's, well, that's always a decent thing to have up your sleeve, Mark.
Listen, it's up to Hadji to go and show what he can do. First of all, in the Rangers team, he's got a starting place tonight. Do enough to hold his spot for the Scottish Cup game away to Hamilton Accies on Saturday, and take it from there. But one thing again, you know, without knowing, you know, the kind of Hazard comparisons that Scott's making there, and you can tell he's genuinely enthused and excited about the prospect, is that you know, from inside Ibrox, there's genuine excitement. Obviously, that kind of excitement's been dampened because of the result on Saturday, you know. But one thing, if Rangers get back on track, they feel that Hadji is a guy that can really help take them forward.
The thing about relying on Morelos too much, and I know Scott was talking about the 11 players that are on the pitch, he would like them to take more shots and contribute more. In terms of striking options, it is Morelos or no one tonight, because the foe's injured and Camberry can't play against his parent club.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the position there for a few weeks. I know Camberry came in, but when Morelos was injured, there was only Defoe available. And I think that's something that maybe Steven Gerrard in the longer term will perhaps look at, you know, trying to have different options, you know, if he's top, one of his top players is unavailable. But, you know, Morelos, listen, he's back in, Morelos. He's had, you know, a game under his belt now. He did miss a good opportunity the weekend, but that's the nature of being a striker.
Let's hear from Jack Ross ahead of this trip to Ibrox.
For us, we would like to make it more competitive in terms of how close you are to Rangers that day. So that, or that evening, and that was probably I think probably our most disappointing performance since I came into the job, and we were a long way short. The one big thing we can control is our own performance, and that being better. That night Rangers were very good as well, so we want to be very good. That's the thing we can control. You know, we can't affect their performance, but yeah, the game. You know, I think Mark was touching that individual instances of the game they're quickly forgotten about, and you know, today's in a game in isolation. Wednesday evening is a game in isolation in itself.
Jack Ross wasn't there, but they conceded six the last time they went to Ibrox, Jim. So I think those players will know fine well what could happen if they're not defensively sound.
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, his words there right at the very start says we have to be more competitive, and I think that's he knows that he can't, you know, maybe just say to his team, well, let's go and play the way we play, and allow Rangers, you know, the freedom to go and express themselves. And I think the couple of games that Hibs have played against Rangers, they've allowed Rangers too much time and space to go and exploit, you know, the weaknesses in the Hibs side, and Rangers have taken full advantage of it. So I do expect Hibs to press a little bit more, but a little bit more on, you know, a bit more aggressive. But as I said, I think they have to temper that because they have to be careful to keep 11 men on the pitch.
Let's hear from Stephen Robinson then. How does he go about stopping Celtic tonight?
Absolutely nothing to lose. We'll go in with our approach that we always do at home, where we try and take the game to Celtic. There'll be periods of the game where they'll have possession of the ball. They're a good side, a very good side. And we have to make sure when we land on it, we're brave on it, and we take the game to them as well. So we've nothing to lose. We're a good side. We have to believe that. No one's invincible. They're a very good side. We've total respect for them, but not fear. And we know that on our day, you know, we can give Celtic a game. We have to go and try and take the game to them. I think teams enjoy playing against us because we don't sit in. We do try and go and press, and we do try and take our game to them, especially at home. So it will be an open game, but I think that's how we have to play. We can't play any other way.
Gives a debut to Rolando Ahrens. Mark Guidi, he has a decent pedigree. He's played a good number of games for Newcastle.
Yeah.
That's quite the baptism though, isn't it? Because if you're an attacking player and you come into a game like this against a team like Celtic, you have to be ready to work and do the shift in the opposite direction as well.
Yeah, there's got to be first and foremost a right good work ethic tonight. Otherwise you're going to get found out with the quality of Celtic's players. Once you do that, then hopefully for Motherwell's point of view and for Ahrens, it they can get into the opposition half and try and be influential by putting Celtic on the back foot, try to, you know, get in the round area, try to create chances for his teammates, etc. But first and foremost, he will need to graft, and once he gets his wind and gets used to that, then he can go and be effective at the other end of the pitch.
Interesting that Stephen Robinson mentions, Jim, that maybe teams do like playing against them, because we saw that earlier on in the season when in the early stages Motherwell looked like they were going to really give Celtic a tough game. But inevitably, if you're doing that much attacking, you leave gaps elsewhere, and a team like Celtic will exploit you.
Yeah, you've always got that bit of risk. Motherwell have been playing 4-3-3 over the last period, and with the two wide guys, it'll be interesting to see against Celtic's wing backs tonight. I mean, you would look at James Forrest, for instance, as a defensive weakness, you know, because he's not a defender. He's a winger, and he scores goals like he did at the weekend. He's absolutely magnificent in the final third of the pitch. You know, he picks up great positions, his finishing's great, his goal return's outstanding. But if you can manage to get at him from a winger's point of view, you'd have to fancy your chances. So Motherwell have got to take a little bit of a gamble somewhere along the line to say, listen, can we get the ball into that wide area? Can we be a threat? If they allow James Forrest to dominate and Celtic's wing backs to push high up the pitch, Celtic will have too much quality for them.
It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Do you want to win yourself a signed ball? Do you think you've got the footballing knowledge to get one over on Jim Duffy or Mark Guidi? If the answer is yes, give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025. Your chance to beat the Pundit. You have to call before 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompsons.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan. Fantastic night we've got in store in the Scottish Premiership. A full card, six games, big stories at the top, middle and bottom of the league. And there's still plenty of time for you to join us in the build-up. If you want to call us on the usual number, 0141 951 1025. And if you would rather tweet, you can find us at Clyde SSB. Just a bit of breaking news tonight, and I know lots of you have been following this story. Sky Sports have issued an apology after inaccuracies were highlighted in their transcription of an interview with Alfredo Morelos. The statement says, "We've identified inaccuracies. We apologise to both Celtic, Rangers and Alfredo Morelos for the issues caused by these errors. After numerous steps undertaken by Sky to verify the interview thoroughly, we can be clear that at no point did Morelos allege any racial abuse was directed at him by Celtic supporters in the interview. We apologise to supporters of Celtic for this serious error." I mean, that's clearly one between Sky and Celtic, Rangers, Morelos. Not really much that we can say or do about it, but just, I know you've been following this story, so I thought we would bring you right up to speed. Anyway, time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Fraser is in East Calder. How are you, Fraser?
Not too bad, my man. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Rangers fan, Fraser, what are you thinking tonight? Confident?
Yeah, always got to be confident.
Happy with that team news?
Yeah, although I think we're still not playing our best formation. I would say three at the back's the best for us, but still happy with it.
Yeah, time will tell. We'll see how it gets on tonight. Yanis Hadji in for a full debut. I'm going to toss the coin, Fraser. If it is heads, you're up against Mark Guidi, and if it's tails, it's Jim Duffy. But it's heads, Mark against Fraser from East Calder. So here's the deal. I'm going to give Mark something else to distract him so that he can't hear your answers, and we'll get your clock ready, Fraser. 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Who's the current captain of Rangers?
James Tavernier.
Which side is bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Partick Thistle.
At what stadium do Clyde play?
Oh, pass.
How many goals have Celtic scored in their last three league games?
12.
Who are St Mirren playing tonight?
Hamilton.
Which Scottish Premiership sides conceded the most goals in the league this season? Celtic's Stephen Walsh was recently recalled from a loan spell with which Scottish Championship side?
Arbroath.
Okay, let's bring Mark back. Mark, can you hear us?
Got you, Gordon.
Great, yes. Same set of questions to you.
Okay.
Once I turn the paper back over, your time starts now. Who's the current captain of Rangers?
Tavernier.
Which side is bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Partick Thistle.
At what stadium do Clyde play?
Broadwood.
How many goals have Celtic scored in their last three league games?
11.
Who are St Mirren playing tonight?
Hamilton.
Which Scottish Premiership side has conceded the most league goals this season?
Ross County.
Celtic defender Stephen Welsh recently recalled from a loan spell with which side? Which national side will Scotland face in their first Euro 2020 playoff? Okay. What do you think, Fraser?
Gubbed.
Let's find out how much of a gubbing or otherwise it was. James Tavernier is the captain of Rangers. You both got that right. You both also got Partick Thistle being bottom of the Championship. So a solid start. Good to get something to build on. Clyde play at Broadwood. I wonder if that's the job. You're an East Calder man, Fraser. Maybe it's got the better of you there. Broadwood and Cumbernauld. So Mark Guidi goes one in front. How many goals have Celtic scored in their last three league games? Four against Hamilton, three against St Johnstone, three against Ross County. 10 is the answer. So none of you got that. Mark Guidi still leads by one. Who are St Mirren playing tonight? It's Hamilton Accies. You both got it. Which Scottish Premiership sides conceded the most goals this season? It's Ross County, 50. Did you know that? Or was that just a calculated guess?
No, I knew that.
Did you? Yeah, good on you. Celtic Stephen Welsh recently recalled from a loan spell with Morton. And Scotland will face Israel. So that's 4, 5, 6, 7 for Mark Guidi. And a 3 for you, Fraser. Hardlines.
Cheers.
Good, unlucky man. Fraser.
Enjoy the game tonight. Unlucky. That was Fraser from East Calder. Convincing, a professional job done by Mark Guidi on Beat the Pundit, I must say. Yeah, that was not bad at all. Some decent questions in there. Thank you to Fraser for taking part. And if you like the sound of that, if you think you can go one better, we'll have Beat the Pundit at the same time tomorrow night. Let's look at some of the other big fixtures tonight. One which is of a particular interest to us, because it's in this neck of the woods, would be St Mirren and Hamilton, as you heard in Beat the Pundit. Brendan is a St Mirren fan from Paisley. How do you see it going tonight, Brendan?
Well, there's only a couple of small points to put in there, boys. As far as the game goes tonight, I would like to think that going by the last few weeks, I'd love to see Jim Goodwin having a wee shake-up in the striking department and keep John Abika and Junior Marais in the bench and give Cody Cook and Danny Mullen a chance for the start?
Well, I can tell you, Brendan, let me tell you if you've got your wish or not. I was going to run through the teams when you were done, but let's just do it now because you've brought it up quite well. Cladkin goal, a back four of Flynn, McCarthy, Famao and Waters, Foley and McPherson, the holding two, then McGrath, Andrew and Dermus behind Marais. So I think you're halfway there. Cody Cook's on the bench and so's Abika.
Well, I tell you, to be fair, I don't know why he keeps playing Marais, because I mean the guy's a pit bull. The guy can run with a speed that's unbelievable, but the boy can't jump. And if you put a high ball into him with anybody taller than 6 feet, that boy's got no chance. Absolutely no chance.
And keep the ball on the floor.
On the floor. Aye, no bother. I mean, he runs through brick walls for the team. But the boy can't jump. And get up for a high ball with somebody that's 6 foot plus, that boy hasn't got a hope because he can't jump.
What do you make of that team? I noticed Cammy McPherson getting rave reviews over the weekend, Jim. Some of the new signings in there as well. McCarthy, of course, got his first goal at Easter Road.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think you go to, you know, Easter Road, you score two goals. The thing at St Mirren have always been from the early part of the season. I think the first thing that any manager wants to try and do is to try and make yourself a team a difficult to beat. And certainly St Mirren were, but they just couldn't quite get that connection with the front players. And he's tried to bring in a few players. Obviously, Abika, you know, looked as if he'd be a handful as well. And Brendan, you know, goes to the games, and therefore he's getting more knowledge on these things. But I certainly think going to Easter Road, scoring two goals, should give St Mirren confidence that they can go and take the game to Hamilton. Hamilton are on a sticky patch. You know, they obviously lost heavily after having the man sent off at the weekend against Celtic. They now play Rangers in the Cup as well next weekend. So this is a big match for Hamilton. I don't think Hamilton can really afford to lose this tonight. And I think there's a bit of pressure on them. And if St Mirren can get all 3 points, I think you know, that just gives them enough breathing space to maybe look above them after that, rather than, you know, look over their shoulder.
Are we at that stage of the season, Brendan, where we're allowed to use that old cliche about it being a 6-pointer? St Mirren do lead Hamilton by 3 points at the moment. Hearts are in there as well. I think most people accept it looks like Hearts are going to get better with some of the business they've done in January. So just how important is this one tonight?
Well, I mean, it is an old cliche, but I think where we're sitting in the league as far as this season is concerned, I think potentially any win for us is a potential 6-pointer, you know, a 6-point swinger job. I mean, but for me, I just want to see my team staying up this year. And I think Jim's got to give a strike force. I think he's got to give this young lad, Cody Cook, a shout up here, because that boy, I think, has got the potential to be a superstar for us up front. Because at the moment, don't get me wrong, John Abika's put the goals in for us, but, I mean, for me, looking as a player looking in every week, I go to the games every week, so I can tell it the way it is.
I think Cody Cook was injured, didn't he, for a long time?
Yeah,
he scored a
hat trick.
I think it was the last game of last season.
Yeah, against
he scored
Dundee,
a hat trick against Dundee.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so that's the only thing I would say, Brendan. You just don't know. I mean, strikers need that sharpness, they need the game time. And he's maybe just a little bit still to play in that. You know, I mean, it's been a long time injured. So maybe that's part of the reason why Cody Cook is still waiting for maybe that opportunity that you think he deserves.
Let's hear from Jim Goodwin.
I think it's the most significant game we've had for a long time. You know, we, in terms of our own level of performance and level of consistency, are actually on a very good run. You know, I think in all competitions we've lost 2 games in the last 10, if you include the Broxbourne one. So we've been doing all right. You know, we've been doing all right. We would love to be able to turn some of those draws into wins and maybe pull ourselves away even further from the bottom end of the table. But this particular game, you know, it's that old cliche of an out-and-out 6-pointer, isn't it? You know, if we go and win it, then we open up a 6-point gap between ourselves and Hamilton. If they come and win, then it's game on again. It's, you know, they level up with ourselves on points. And so, you know, there's no need for me to remind the players or anyone else for that matter how important this game is. It's it's huge.
And now the thoughts of Brian Rice.
Every game's big for Hamill. Every single game's big for Hamill. I keep saying it, we're the underdogs in every game in the Premier League, you know, so St Mirren are down in the fight with us. So, yeah, it's a big game. It's a big game for two teams. So David Templin will do things on the pitch that other players can't do or can't see. So I'm very hopeful that a lot of the games have been one-goal margins, you know, mostly against us. I'm hoping that David can maybe swing it our way. You know, he's got the ability in the world. He loves it here. He's happy to be back up the road with his wife and his new baby. So I'm hoping we can get the best out of David Templin in the running.
And actually, despite doing pretty well on Sunday, it's a good number of changes. And I'm calling it a good number because I can't quite count how many it is at the moment. But if you leave it with me. But Luke Southwood continues in goal. A back four of McGowan, Want, Easton and McMahon, Gogic, Martin and Hunt, the midfield three, and then an attacking trio of Templeton, Ongpo and Mikael Miller.
Yeah, well, certainly two changes up front, like with Miller coming in and Templeton starting as well. I agree with Brian Rice. I've always liked Templeton, a really good player, tricky if he's up to speed and he's in the mood, then I think he certainly can cause damage at that end of the table for sure. Ongpo had a really good game on Sunday, caused Celtic a few problems. And Mikael Miller, Gordon, as you know, I've watched Hamilton a number of times over the past 18 months, and he always catches the eye. He's got a fantastic.
Well, Hibs tried to get him, didn't they, on deadline?
Yeah, I think Hamilton have you know, it's been good that they've managed to hold on to him. With the greatest respect to Hamilton, I think he kind of deserves a bigger stage, a bigger club. But he's very talented, and you know, out with his talent, really impressed with his work rate as well. He puts in a shift. But on that game tonight, I fancy St Mirren to nick it 2-1.
I mean, Jim, the challenge is all, it's so different, and I wonder if that's something that we perhaps overlook. You take Hamilton and the job that they're asked to do against Celtic and then compare it to the job that they're going to be asked to do against St Mirren. Take Alex Gogic, for instance. It was one of the best back-to-wall defending jobs from a player I've seen in ages. He just put his head in front of everything. He threw his body in front of everything. I'd love to know the numbers and the amount of headers that he cleared and interceptions that he made. But he might not even have to do that tonight. He might not be that type. It might be it's a completely different challenge.
Yeah, there's more of a share of the game. There's no doubt about that. You know, that Hamilton will have more of a share. You know, I mean, you would still expect St Mirren to be the slightly dominant team being at home. But Hamilton will go there, you know, saying like, this is a game where we should be, you know, relatively even, you know, in terms of retaining the ball and that aspect of it, rather than just backs to wall defending, which they had to do against Celtic for long periods after getting down to 10 men. So they'll probably enjoy that, because they probably, you know, as you said, that. But the one thing they've got, Gordon, is desire, is commitment, as you mentioned there with Alex Gogic, doing those type of things. And that's something that Hamilton have always had. You can never criticise a Hamilton team for throwing a towel in. They don't do that. And St Mirren will be fully aware of that tonight. And Jim Goodwin, I think, will emphasise the team. Listen, do not think that Hamilton's going to come here feeling demoralised after the weekend, because that Hamilton team goes there and they will give everything.
Brendan, thanks for your call. Hopefully you enjoy the game. Let's speak to Brian in Moss Park. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good evening, lads.
Hi, Brian. What's on your mind?
First and foremost, I think Scott Brown's an absolute legend for Celtic, but in the last couple of games against Rangers and even Ross County and even Hamilton, we've not played too well in midfield. These two teams are certainly two Rangers games. Rangers totally overran us the last two games. It took us a good while to get a foothold in. I'm just thinking Scott's sort of, he's daft a bit for other reasons. I hope this new boy Sorrow is going to come in and actually be a likely replacement. They're going to be able to stand up to the might of the Rangers midfield, which in the last two games have certainly overrun us.
Remind me, Brian, I'm thinking back to that game in the 29th. Celtic across the board were pretty poor, but was Scott Brown not arguably Celtic's best player or one of the better ones that day?
I heard that after the game, and I didn't think so. No, I honestly didn't think so. I think what we expect, maybe my problem is, I maybe expect too much of Scott Brown. That's maybe the problem.
Well, it's a collective effort, to, as you know, Brian. If you're going to beat Rangers, it's got to be a collective effort, and certainly for sure, you know, in the last two Old Firm games, Scott Brown's, you know, had better games. You know, there's been many a time he's absolutely dominated Old Firm games and helped Celtic to victory. That's not been the case, but in terms of your original point, you know, Soro ready to step in. I mean, I think I can't see that happening this season. First of all, I wouldn't write off Scott Brown, and secondly, I think Soro's one that we built up. You know, I think it'd be very unfair to say, you know, Soro's a man that's going to help Celtic beat Rangers March the 15th at Ibrox. There's other quality midfield players in there that if Scott Brown's off the boil or needing a rest or whatever, that can step in. But hopefully for Celtic's sake, that Soro settles in, finds his feet and goes on to make an impact.
I just think that Brian, I mean, you're talking about Scott Brown there. Gordon just gave a stat earlier on, 42 games this season. You know, if you've got 42 games, you maybe had two, three below par. Not terrible games, below par. So that means your consistency levels are very, very high. It's just maybe unfortunate from Scott Brown's point of view that these games maybe perhaps were against Rangers. But listen, you know, you've got to look at the rest of the season. You know, I mean, if Celtic, if his performance levels are as high as they have been, and I think they have been, I think his consistency, not just in this season, but over the seasons, has been incredible. So I think, yeah, I think you're right. In some, he's not played at his best in those games. But you do need other players as well. You can't always be Scott Brown. It drags everybody out. Now and again, if he has the odd dip, his teammates have got to help him.
Can I back in, please, Jim?
Of course you can.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree entirely what you're saying there as well. But my fear is, I mean, the Rangers games are going to determine that they're league champions this year. Even though Rangers have dropped a few points, we will no doubt drop some as well. But obviously, as you said as well, the other team members have got to step up. But it's that looking back 4, 5, 6 years, Rangers have sort of dominated us totally in the last two games, and it's a touch worrying. I'm just hoping the rest of the team midfield can step up.
You must be a lot less worried now, though, Brian, that you've all of a sudden recovered from that game and opened up that gap.
But there's still two Rangers games. If they take 6 points...
That's a great thing. You're right, Brian. That's a great thing about the title race that they've got. Despite Rangers dropping 5 points in the league in the past two or three games, that the title race is in their own hands, as Jim pointed out as well earlier. Now, albeit it's a huge ask to go and win the next, many games are left, Gordon, 14 or 15, whatever it may be.
Someone said so earlier.
That's a massive ask, but that is encouraging thing, 14. Despite dropping points, that it is in Rangers' hands themselves. They don't need a favour at the moment. And for what it's worth, I think Celtic and Rangers out with the two Old Firm games. So that means there's 12 games to go then, Gordon.
Well, Rangers have got 15 to go, Celtic have got 14.
I think both teams will drop points because it will become very nervy. You know, and supporters, I don't think, are going to see, you know, 3-4-5-0s, you know, every other week and free flowing, fantastic football. This is going to be the biggest squeaky bum time. And God knows how long. So don't be expecting it and expect teams to drop points.
Brian in Moss Park, thank you very much for the call. Get your pen and paper ready, get your phone out, whatever you write these things down. If you're good enough to keep a note in your head, do that, because we've got a good full time teaser coming up. And the only the teaser for the teaser is that it's right up your street, Mark Guidi.
Right.
And we'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Building up to 6 big kickoffs in the Scottish Premiership tonight in the company of Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi. 7:45 kickoff, so 20 minutes to go. Plenty of time for you to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Right, it's time for tonight's full time teaser. If you've never heard the teaser before, that's when you send in the question and the pundits try their best to come up with the answers. Mikey Burns, thank you to Mikey for sending this one in. You're going to like it, Mark Guidi. We're looking for 11 goalies who've played for Celtic or Rangers this century but have made less than 10 appearances. So since 2000, 11 keepers have played for Celtic or Rangers and have made less than 10 appearances. Appearances. That's the question, as put forward by Mikey Burns.
Jack, what's the Rangers one? Jack,
Alnick.
No, I don't think it doesn't include current players. Sorry, and he's still on the books. I know he's on loan, okay. So it doesn't include current players.
So, I think he just falls into the timescale. Just he might be the furthest one back. I'll go with Christensen, the Danish goalie at Rangers.
Yes, 6 appearances.
So for Celtic and Rangers, wasn't it?
Yep.
Okay, goes since 2000.
Another one who might just fall into it, just because he played in Joseph Venglos' team, Tony Warner?
No.
Well, he must be 99.
Before then. It, wasn't it?
Just before it. And there. Well, oh, okay, here's another one. Oh. No, maybe not. Or maybe it was, I'll go for him anyway. Stevenson, Rangers?
No. Must have more than 10. Thank you, more than 10. I actually think, I'm looking at Mikey's question here. Mikey sent it, and he does say since the 2000-2001 season. But I think one of these actually did just stray into 99 with his one appearance.
Less than how many appearances? Less than 10.
Fewer than 10, yeah.
There's 11 of them with... right, okay, right, I think I've got one as well. Javi Sanchez Broto.
Yes, 8 games in 2003. Mm-hmm. Our colleague Stephen Mills already been on. He's given his answers as well. But if he thinks that I'm going to help you two out, he's got another thing coming.
Do you want me to text me?
Okay, yeah, I think I've got another one.
Go for it.
Big fella, Northern Ireland goalkeeper, Roy Carroll.
Yes, one game for Rangers, I think. Okay, we'll leave it there. Looking for 11 goalkeepers who've played for Celtic or Rangers this century, fewer than 10 appearances. Javier Sanchez Broto, Jesper Christensen, and Roy Carroll. Like I say, I actually think one of these has strayed just before that, but that's all right. We don't mind.
Just
we'll leave it there.
Okay.
We'll leave it there. You can get the rest of the answers. Alan is a Celtic fan calling from Berkshire. Hi, Alan.
Hi, good evening. How you doing?
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan. I just want to raise a point with Jim and Mark, because both of you have said, and Mark, you've said it more than one occasion, that the destination of the championship this year is in Rangers' own hands.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. But isn't it in Celtic's hands as
it's
well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's in both our hands. That's a beauty.
I've never mentioned that, though. Alan, never mentioned that.
Alan, I think everybody knows that Celtic are top. The guys are making the distinction that whilst the points gap is as it is, if Rangers win the rest of their games, they will be champions because they have to play Celtic twice.
I think we did actually mention it because I said earlier on that if Rangers drop any points tonight,
it goes out of their hands.
One day and it goes into, you know, it goes out their hands. So therefore, Celtic are complete control. But anyway, Alan.
Anyway, yeah. Well, can I just ask another little quick question, if that's okay?
Go for it.
It's just regarding Steven Gerrard's interview. Now, he seems to get it soft every time he's in a press conference. And I'm more specifically talking about, again, we're coming back to this racist, these racist comments or racist accusations that seem to be getting made. Now, he's saying in this day and age it's pathetic and it shouldn't happen, etc., etc. But if he fails to acknowledge that it was his club, supporters from his club have been banned in two separate matches in European games this year for racist chanting and singing.
But Alan, did he not condemn that at the time? I'm fascinated by the psychology of this, because for me, and you can correct me if you disagree, the issue of racism is far, far bigger than football. Why does it have to be viewed through the prism of which team you support? Why do you not just hear Steven Gerrard saying racism is wrong, and your automatic reaction should be, he's right, I wholeheartedly agree. There shouldn't be a but.
I'll tell you, Gordon, yes, racism has got no place in football. But the guy who's clearly having a dig at the allegations made against Celtic fans,
well,
but he doesn't acknowledge that his own fans, his sections of his stadium have been closed down this year because of racist chanting by his own fans.
And did he not condemn that at the time?
I don't think he did.
I think he did.
I don't recall him.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, the club did as well.
Like this is
absolutely.
Like,
but again, it's, you know,
like I said to Alan, Jim, I feel like we do ground in circles on this one. You're almost, and I said it last night, you're made to feel like you can't call out something for being wrong without also at the same time calling out everything else that has ever been wrong in the past. If you hear an allegation of racism, why is your first thought about the underlying conspiracy behind it?
Yeah, no, listen, I've had several debates in several media outlets regarding racism in football. Obviously, you know, I worked for a long, long time. We show racism a red card, abhor any type of racism, any type of sectarianism, any type of bullying, you know, anything that, you know, is. But football always seems to be, you know, at the blame, or, you know, the epicentre of blame. And I don't know why. It is a society problem. And if Steven Gerrard or any other person condemns it, why don't we just applaud that person for condemning it rather than look to say, yeah, but he doesn't say this or he doesn't say that? You know, is it, you know, and if anyone thinks it's not in Scottish culture, then they're kidding themselves on.
Alan in Berkshire, thank you very much for the call. 01419511025. Another story that broke this afternoon, and lots of people were getting very heated up about it on social media. I'm going to attempt to say that I'm wondering if it's maybe not as big a deal. I feel like we always go, we dive in. Now, see, when we see compliance officer and when we see charges, everyone gets like really sort of excited. And I know these ones are maybe a bit of an eyebrow raiser to some. Celtic have been charged by the Scottish FA over confrontations in games against Partick and Hamilton. Accies have also been called to account by the governing body as well. It basically comes around, I think what they call it is a mass confrontation. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than three players from each side. If they all get involved in any way, if it's more than three from each side, it's considered a mass confrontation. Mm-hmm. So when it's all kicking off with Lee Griffiths, Celtic players will rush in, Hamilton Accies players will rush in, and a charge follows. We've seen it before.
Yes, the rules.
But like I say, when Celtic are involved or when Rangers are involved, and when it comes in a week like this, everything gets ramped up a little bit.
No, that's the rules. You're right. You explained it absolutely perfectly. And every manager or you know, captain and, you know, representative of the club, as I say, when they go to the referees meetings at the start of the season, they're told all this. It's not a surprise. You know, you're told that if there is more than, you know, three or more players get involved from either side, you will get, you know, asked in front of the SFA, and then you may well, you don't get a fine, or you may not.
And that's the thing; it's just going to be a fine. It's not going to be anything.
No,
major. But I'm not saying that's okay.
But that's the rules. It doesn't matter whether it's Hamilton, whether it's Celtic, whether it's Dumbarton, whether it's anybody else. If your players are confrontational, and the referee believes it, or the compliance officer deals with it, then you know, you may well risk a fine.
And I might be out of date slightly on that. It's actually rule 204 this year, so it's a bit different. It's not actually now about the number of players. I stand corrected. More that players and staff should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. So it's one of these blanket statements which kind of covers a multitude of sins, Mark Guidi. The other one is for, we believe, Jozo Simunovic putting his hand on the referee against Partick Thistle. And we had a tweet in to say, you know, along the lines of, when was the last time a player was charged for that? Well, actually, I think Richard Tate of Motherwell was done for something very similar. But I don't expect people to remember that or care about it. That's the world we live in.
They won't remember that, Gordon, you're right.
Right, we've got so much to try and get through. Let's go to Pittodrie. We've got another big game there, Dave Galloway.
Yes, that's right, as Aberdeen take on St Johnston tonight. Gordon, looking forward to this one. It should be a close-run thing. Aberdeen go into this one determined to build on an impressive performance in that recent 0-0 draw with Rangers at Ibrox. Now the Dons are keen to rediscover the scoring touch as they battle Motherwell for third place, having failed to find the net in three successive matches. Now, St Johnston played some very good football in an entertaining 3-3 draw with Hearts at the weekend, and they'll come to Pittodrie confident of getting a result tonight. Both meetings between those two sides so far this season have ended as 1-1 draws. Maybe that gives you some sort of pointer as to a possible outcome tonight. To the teams then, and both sides make three changes. Firstly, for Aberdeen, Hernandez comes in for his debut. Gallagher is in, as is Hedges. Out drop Logan, Ojo and McGinn. So it's Joe Lewis in goals, a back four of Ronald Hernandez, Ash Taylor, Scott McKenna and Andy Considine. Sitting midfielders, Dylan McGeoch and Lewis Ferguson. Further forward, Matty Kennedy, John Gallagher and Ryan Hedges. Up top, it's Sam Cosgrove. Substitutes, Cherney, Logan, Devlin, Campbell, Ojo, McGinn and Anderson. As I said, St Johnston make three changes also, so it's Booth, Holt and O'Halloran in for Gordon, Tanzer and Kane. It's Xander Clark in goals for the visitors. Across the back, Anthony Ralston, Jamie McCart, Jason Kerr and Callum Booth. Sitting midfielders, Liam Craig and Jason Holt. Further forward, David Wotherspoon, Ali McCann and Michael O'Halloran, the main striker and man of the moment for the Saints, Stevie May. Substitutes, Parrish, Duffy, Kane, Hendry, Butcher, Jones and Wright. And your match referee at Pittodrie is Kevin Clancy.
So Aberdeen Aberdeen could go third if they win. Motherwell lose and Aberdeen claw back a couple of goals as well. It could still arithmetically happen. Thanks to Dave Galloway on tonight's teaser. Mikey said, looking for 11 players who've played for Celtic and Rangers this century but have fewer than 10 appearances. One of them was definitely 99, so I can tell you who it was and we'll take it out, or you can just include it, because I think it was there or thereabouts.
Celtic or Rangers?
It was Celtic. One sub appearance.
I'm going to say Barry John Cole.
Yes. So we'll leave him in since you got it. Any more? You've got Javier Sanchez, Brotto, Jesper Christensen, Roy Carroll. Let's be quick if we can.
Yeah, Doris De Vries.
No, 10 appearances he's got.
Dimitri Karin.
Yes, 8 games.
And the Rangers goalkeeper, Letini.
Letizzi, I'll give you. Okay, we'll get the rest next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Kickoff's fast approaching across the Scottish Premiership. Let's go back to Fir Park as the teams come out the tunnel. Alison Conroy.
Yep, the team's just emerging from the tunnel for this one. Motherwell looking for a strong performance. Stephen Robinson wanting a better performance than Livingston at the weekend when he says 10 of his players didn't turn up. Celtic looking to keep up the pressure and that gap at the top of the Scottish Premiership. So far, Motherwell, it's Mark Gillespie in goal, a back four of Liam Grimshaw, Declan Gallagher, Peter Hartley and Jake Carroll, midfield five of Rolando Ahrens, Alan Campbell, Liam Donnelly, Liam Polworth and Jermaine Hilton, the lone striker of Chris Long. For Celtic, Fraser Forster in goal, a back three of Chris Iyer, Jozo Simonovic and Chris Julian. Then it'll be James Forrest, Scott Brown, Olivian Cham, Callum McGregor and Greg Taylor. Up top for Celtic tonight, Lee Griffiths and Odson Edward. And your referee at Fir Park is Don Robertson.
And let's go back to Ibrox Hibs, the visitors. Andrew McLean's keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, the team's not yet out the tunnel here at Ibrox, but what a massive night this is for Rangers as they once again look to get their title hopes back on track. Their second Wednesday night in a row at Ibrox that they're needing to bounce back from weekend disappointment. They have beaten Hibs 6-1 and 3-0 already this season, but maybe Jack Ross's side will feel this is a chance to capitalise on the pressure building on the home side. Steven Gerrard says he expects them to get back to top form quicker than people think, and there is 3 changes to the starting 11 tonight, so we'll see if that gives them their spark back. Those 3 changes from that 0-0 draw against Aberdeen are outgo Polster, Katic and Kamara, income Tavernier, Edmondson and Yanis Hadji. So it's a 4-3-3 for Rangers. Alan McGregor starts in goal, a back four of James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, George Edmondson and Borna Barisic, the midfield three, Scott Arfield, Stephen Davis and Joe Aribo, with Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent supporting Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes, Fodringham, Polster, Katic, Kamara, Barker, Jones and Stewart. The team's on their way out the tunnel now. The Hibs team, 3 players go out from their weekend draw against St Mirren, Gray, McGregor and Horgan. Income McGinn, Whittaker and Jackson. A 4-2-3-1 for them. Ofer Marciano in goal, a back four of Paul McGinn, Adam Jackson, Paul Hanlon and Lewis Stevenson. The 2 holding midfielders are Stephen Omeyonga and Stephen Whittaker, with Martin Boyle, Scott Allen and Joe Newell in behind Christian Doidge. The substitutes, Bogdan, James, McGregor, Horgan, Hallberg, Murray and McNulty. The referee here at Ibrox tonight is Bobby Madden.
And we are underway. Big games across the division, top, middle and bottom of the table, all affected tonight. How do you see it going?
I'm going to go Celtic to win 3-1 and Rangers to win 2-0.
Jim Duffy.
3-1, 3-1. Rangers and Celtic.
Oh, there we go. Simple as that. He's consistent, if nothing else. Elsewhere in the top flight tonight as well, Ross County, Livingston, St Mirren, Hamilton, Hearts, Kilmarnock and Aberdeen, St Johnson. I don't need a full list of your predictions, your scores, but just a general flavour of how you see things going.
I think St Mirren will nick it against Hamilton. Aberdeen strongly, I fancy them against St Johnston. Hearts, Kilmarnock to draw, and Ross County and Livy go for a Livy victory.
Okay, Jim, do you differ?
Yeah, no, not much. I think maybe Hearts might nick it at home, and I think they have to really try and get themselves a couple of wins, you know, and try and follow up that Rangers victory, because obviously they're drawing the last minute. But I think maybe Hearts might just nick it. I think that St Mirren, I think again, and maybe just be the odd goal, and I think Aberdeen be the odd goal as well.
Tonight's teaser is this. It's been sent in by Mikey. He was looking for 11 goalkeepers who've played for Celtic or Rangers this century and who have fewer than 10 appearances. You've already got Barry John Corr. We accept he was actually just outside that period, but we've put him in. Dimitri Karin, Javier Sanchez Brotto, Jesper Christensen, Lionel Letizzi and Roy Carroll. Have you got any more?
Matt Jilks.
Yes, 5 games I think in the 16-17 era.
was Hedman. Was he one?
No, more than 10 appearances, I would imagine. Yeah,
I'm going to throw in a couple, but I'm not sure about. But Mark Brown.
Yes. Well done. Played for both, of course.
You know what, I was just going to say that they might qualify
no,
for both.
He got more than 10 for Celtic, right, but fewer than 10 for Rangers, so he is in there.
Okay, Scott Fox.
No, you've got three to get.
Okay, I'm going to throw. There's one that was Fodgingham's understudy during Matt Warburton, and it's not Matt Jilk. No. So I'm not right. Okay.
Matt Jilks is the only one from that era.
Right, well, another one that I suspect he might have played more, but I'm going to throw him in anyway. Cammy Bell.
Yeah, played way more than that.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, three to get. I don't mind telling you the breakdown at this stage. You're looking for one Celtic and two more Rangers. Anything that's caught your eye from the opening 2.5 minutes at Fir Park, Jim?
No, just obviously as you would expect, Celtic getting the ball forward, the two strikers, as I said, playing quite close together, which you always want for your strike partnership. And I just think, as I said, that, you know, the signs look good for Celtic in the early part of the game. And the one thing I think Celtic will enjoy playing is it's a very good pitch at Motherwell these days, much better than it was several years ago.
Yeah, Andrew McLean actually mentioned to me earlier, I hold my hands up and admit I can't remember if it was on air or off air, but he actually felt the Ibrox pitch was looking patchy. Did he mention it?
Yeah, he mentioned it when you know, just in the lead up to his piece earlier on, saying that he felt the pitch was just a little bit but it's quite unusual. Maybe from the stand it looks a bit bare, but again, I would be surprised if it's not a good surface, because Steven Gerrard would insist upon that.
Oddson Edouard has his first shot at goal, but it was a speculative one from outside the box. It hit off Liam Donnelly, it ricocheted off Liam Grimshaw, and Motherwell managed to hack it clear. So with 3 minutes gone, nothing really to tell you about in the way of goal-scoring chances. Motherwell's debutant Rolando Ahrens tried to get down the right, tried to take the Celtic defence for a run, but they stood up well. And actually, Jim, I think the Motherwell pitch was voted the best in the Premiership. It is always immaculate. Mm-hmm. But even that looks like it's had a bit of rain on it, and there's only so much you can do with the weather that we've had.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've had an absolute deluge over the last few weeks, even not just the last few days, but it can make it slick. As I said, it's a good surface. Both teams like playing. And again, you know, with the way Motherwell play now under Stephen Robinson, particularly in the last couple of seasons, they want it like that. They've got quick, sharp players. So they don't want a heavy, sticky pitch.
Yeah, not a great deal to tell you about from Ibrox yet either. It was a Scott Allen cross into the box, caught by Alan McGregor. A couple of fouls, as you would expect. I think Hibs will be trying to set some sort of tempo. Rangers will be wanting to show that they're up for it as well. Stephen Robinson is already hugely frustrated by something. We've got our first goal, and it comes against the run of form, if you like. Livy are one of the form teams in the league, and they're a goal down to that experienced striker Billy Mackay. Ross County 1, Livingston 0. Good chance for Rangers. Tavernier through to Morelos, a shot from an angle. It was saved low and then looped over the bar and out for a corner. How the Rangers fans are longing for that pairing to team up, Tavernier and Morelos backfiring.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said, you know, he just gives them so much ammunition, and, you know, and also he dictates to the opposition. You know, when you're playing Rangers, your wide guy has to track back. So tactically, it's a different proposition. Whereas, no disrespect to whether it's Flanagan or Posey, you may not have the same threat there. So you can maybe try and ask your wider players to push on. But if you allow James Tavernier to push as high as he likes to do, he will deliver, and he's got excellent delivery from that area.
It's a frantic start at Fir Park, Mark Guidi, to say the least.
I've got one eye, half my brain in the game and half my brain in the teaser. Liam Kelly.
No.
I've got the list of every manager
that at the old left. Firm.
Have you given us a clue what kind of how far we're? Because I've gone back to Dick Advocaat and Martin O'Neill.
The Celtic one is the most recent. It's not that far back at all. Rolando Ahrens, Motherwell's debutant, with a left-footed shot, so he could put his bonnet on it. Fraser Forster.
So what, you going back to Brendan Rodgers then?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. Ronnie Dyla into Brendan Rodgers probably.
Right.
Interested onlooker from Fir Park is Tony Watt, the former Celtic striker, back at the ground where he made his Celtic debut and scored a double. And he's now training with the Steelmen, potentially with the view to getting a move there. So we'll see what happens in the coming days. Yeah, the goalie, the Celtic one you're looking for, is the Dyla into Rodgers era, I think.
Yeah, I'm toiling.
Four appearances.
That's your 40, Mark. Come on.
Yeah, I'm toiling. And the Rangers one so far back, Big Alec or Le Guin.
They're a lot harder. Probably.
Was one of them Matt Warburton?
No, before that.
It's not. Is it Coisty's time?
again, just Walter. The problem is, one of these guys only made a handful of appearances, but his time at the club spanned quite a bit. But I would guess, yeah, I would guess the McCoy steerer for one of them, and probably McLeish for the other. Motherwell into the box, big opening, and we've got Jermaine Hilton right footed low, and he scuffs it wide. The biggest chance of the game so far. They actually had a couple of bites at it, Jim.
Yeah, it was two good chances actually. I mean, the, you know, Celtic, you know, lost the ball midfield. You know, Motherwell pressing high, good ball in from Doyle, and again, I just felt long. Could have maybe just taken a touch and hit it, but then Hilton chokes it a little bit, and I think he's just got to be calm there. He's got
he's
to
just
stay
been
calm.
Put off by Simunovic, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got to stay calm. You've got to forget Simunovic and just focus on hitting the target there, because he definitely had a clear sight of goal.
Right, this Celtic one, I think if I give you his nationality, you might get it. He's Belgian.
No,
or maybe not.
No, it's not
helping. Oh, yeah.
It's not helping me anyway, Mark.
Yeah, I know. I can picture him.
He's got gloves on.
Yeah, gloves on. And, big white sticky gloves.
Yeah, he's had a lot of negativity, and his name is...
St Johnstone have taken the lead at Pittodrie. Ali McCann lifting the ball over Joe Lewis, one of St Johnstone's standout players of the season, you have to say. And he's been played through in goal and opened the scoring for St Johnstone.
A lot of pressure on Derek McInnes now for the first time, I think, really, in his
Aberdeen. And he would have alleviated
tenure.
Some of it with a good point at the weekend.
But you know, they've not scored many goals, particularly Pittodrie. They've really got to try and get themselves back into this game, because the longer it goes, you know, they'll feel the tension up there.
Great tracking back by Lee Griffiths, robs Alan Campbell, and it allows Odson Edouard to finish and make it Motherwell 0 Celtic 1. The league's top scorer doing what he does, slotting beyond Mark Gillespie. Stephen Robinson will be furious. A big chance for Motherwell. Alan Campbell caught by the back tracking Lee Griffiths, up the other end in a flash, and Odson Edouard with the goal. Right, Belgian, his initials. Do you need the initials?
I'll need them, yeah.
LB.
Look, you know what, I can pick someone, yeah. I know, but I'm not going to get it.
Right, okay. Logan Bae.
Yeah, Logan Bae. I wouldn't have got that.
The two Rangers ones are much harder. One of them only has one appearance, and he's also a former Motherwell keeper, funnily enough, since we're watching that game at the moment.
I don't know what's going to be.
Played for Hibs as well.
Initial, first initial.
GS.
Oh, Graham Smith. Yeah.
The clue I want to give you for the other one is that he's a former schoolmate of mine, but that's really not going to help you, is it?
Tell us.
Motherwell,
all through primary school and high school with this guy. Made five appearances, and I believe another big chance for Motherwell to equalise, but it's wide. I think he is now first choice at Airdrie, or he certainly plays for Airdrie.
Scott Gallagher.
Oh, forgot that you were in that division and you would scoosh that.
I was going to say Davey Hart was Airdrie as well.
That was me. I rubber stamped it.
Yeah, there
we go. I wouldn't have got Scott Gallagher.
Scott Gallagher. Brilliant. Okay, thank you to Jim and Mark. Motherwell are trailing Celtic by a goal to nil. Aberdeen are trailing St Johnstone by a goal to nil. Ross County lead Livingston by a goal to nil as well. Still nothing at Ibrox, but make sure you join us tomorrow at 6 o'clock. All the fallout from tonight's games. And we'll be back from 6 with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.